Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Uncensored Match Build-Up Show. Liverpool taking on Cardiff in the FA Cup. I'm Paul Machin. I'm joined by Evo and by Steve for this one. If you want to come and join us, if you are checking this out live right now, we are over on YouTube. We're going to be discussing a little bit about Cardiff. We've got a great trivia question in the middle, and then we're going to be looking at who the Mighty Reds are likely to select. Will they go standard FA Cup, or will they go strong? Loads and loads and loads of really interesting things to talk about. The return to training of Thiago Alcantara. Will Luis Diaz get his first appearance for your Mighty Reds? We shall find out in due course, but let's dive into it. And Steve, it feels like an absolute eternity since we played footy.
It does, doesn't it? I hate the international breaks, although most of the lads haven't been involved. You know, there's a Brazilian element and AFCON, but the European lads have kind of
been. Well, this was the winter break, wasn't it?
Yeah. And it never serves us well to have a break. We're an intense side that needs games thick and fast, so it could be interesting on Sunday for that reason.
It is that. That's the one narrative that we're waiting on. It's like a ticking time bomb. The sword of Damocles hanging over our head, Evo, of Liverpool should never go on warm weather breaks. They should never have holidays in the season because they never come back quite right. The hope is it's Cardiff and it's the FA Cup, and look, in the grand scheme of things, we should be enough to get past them. If we don't, it's not catastrophic to the season, of course. But yeah, it'd be nice if Liverpool did just come back recharged rather than us having to City, as we've done a number of times over the years, and go, oh well, you won't see the benefits of this until the back end of the season. We'll never be able as fans to see the true benefits. It'd be nice if Liverpool just came back and hit the ground running, really. Yeah,
definitely. Like, I mean, I hate these breaks too, and I think we need just this rhythm. We are so keen to playing two games a week for the last 4 or 5 years, and like on the other side, I'm happy for the players, like seeing Trent, seeing Hendo like on the beach, like having a proper break, because we always moan about that in December and January they need time off, and now when they have time off we go like shit, like we are not good.
But there's a cultural thing on this, isn't there? Is that as English fans, we're not used to the idea of the winter break. And again, you just stood there. We call it the international break. And okay, it was for the Brazilians, and it was for Taki Minamino. They've gone away and played football, but it was English football's winter break. Now, again, look at like the Bundesliga, for example. They've always had a winter break. So we can't help but, like, I don't know, over here we're a bit like sneering to it, you know, like, oh, what do they want a break for? A break? Wow, look at all the money they get paid, etc., etc. It's probably going to take a few years of this being a thing before we get used to, you know, actually players are entitled to go and have a couple of days break. Everyone else can get a holiday from their jobs.
Like in the big picture, it will be good if it continues for the players if they get the break in the next years too, because like it just helps you. We play a lot of games, and like we are not a mid-table team. Like every game is important for us, so we have to win everyone. We have to go full force in everyone. And when you play from August, September on till January, like you are happy for 1 week off, and like the lads use this one properly, like the ones who had a break off.
I think that it's a physical recharge, but it's, look, a week's not long when you consider like the...
But mentally.
Well, yeah, exactly. And that's my point, really, is that they just need a little bit of that. I always say this, and you don't realise this when you're younger. It's only when you start to get older and you've got a lot more responsibilities and life comes at you from all different angles at all times. I think you need three nights off is the bare minimum you need just to disengage your brain a lot of the times, and that's what these lads, it has been an incredibly intense period. Yeah. They'll have been getting geared up for that January as well because of the AFCON stuff, all the stuff that we've been worried about. That will have been in their minds. They've all gone, and actually a lot of the players were asked to go a lot more than they would have done, I think, if Salah and Mane and Keita had been available, like the defence in particular. Yeah. The fullbacks have played a lot, Fabinho's played a lot, Henderson's played a lot, Curtis Jones has played a lot. They do need to have a little bit of time off, and we can't help it, can we? Because I think it's a talk sport, old school English mentality, and of course we don't like young, attractive, rich people having nice things because we feel jealous about it. Ultimately, we do. Hopefully we will see the benefits, and hopefully it means that these lads can go, because I'd quite like to see us win all four competitions within this season, or have the best chance of it.
Me too, and referencing Evo's point about it will benefit us in the long term. Right now, it's really difficult to dial in and dial out of a winter break, and it might be the same for the players. That's my concern, because we see pictures of Trent Lyon in the Bahamas or somewhere getting some sun, and like you say, you know,
I got proper wanderlust.
Yeah, tough tucks to look at. Andy Robert, I told him to breathe out on one of them, didn't he? Because he was showing his six.
That was funny.
Yeah, it was cooler. So you do wonder when they come back, you'd like to think the professionals, and we've got the right people in the club to switch them on again. Yeah. But
and they'll be switched. They'll want to switch on as well, won't they, ultimately?
But history says that we struggle when we have predetermined breaks that we don't want.
Yeah.
Just like to touch on this again, like you said, life comes at you like when you get a little bit older. And I just think it's not maybe not that important for the beginning of, for the players who are in the beginning of the 20s or in the mid 20s, but like for a guy like Jordan Henderson, I don't know, he has at least a couple of kids. I think he values this week really much, because like we always demand a lot of these players and all that stuff, but if we have to go out there traveling every second week, training, all that stuff, like 1 week on the beach with your kids, paradise, family, mentally, for your mindset, that gives you a lot. Yeah. And I think like Jordan is the best example, Hendo, like he wasn't that good and like in the last couple of weeks. So maybe this week just gave him a proper rest.
Yeah.
And now we can go again.
Yeah, it's true. It's just that thing. We all have that, you know, and I guess it depends on your lifestyle and what you do and what your job is and what your responsibilities and who else is you're responsible to and responsible for. But there is that thing of just sometimes, you know, you have it sometimes where you're just in the grind. I have it sometimes we go on a holiday and by day three you're like in the shower and you have an original thought for the first time in God knows how long. And I think the Jordan Henderson stuff's interesting because I think he has been toiling a little bit. You know, I think he's been a little bit better the last couple of games, but I think he's done his own head in a bit, you know, and he's had to play a lot of football. He was ill as well, not with COVID, but he had a quite a bad illness by all accounts. When Klopp's saying we've got lads out with COVID who are not as bad as Jordan Henderson, who's out but not with COVID. Hopefully that's the kind of thing that he needs, definitely. Cardiff, they did not have a break. They've just played, in fact, last night on the Wednesday night. They beat Barnsley 1-0. That's two wins back-to-back. They are having a tough old season. You know, they're only 9 points ahead of the relegation zone in the Championship at the moment, and the team beneath them has got a game in hand on that as well. So this is a double-edged sword, I think. It represents a little bit of a, as we've seen a couple of teams do this season, it's a free hit. They might just get to go out and enjoy a football game, which could help them. But equally, there's a mentality there where they've got a far bigger battle to really concern them. And it's up to us to make sure their brain gets ticked towards the latter rather than the former.
We've seen over the years that these are welcome distractions from poor league form. We've seen sides win domestic competitions and get relegated.
Yes.
You know, we've seen that more than once.
Yeah.
So the thing with them is, as you say, it's a free hit. It's an enjoyable afternoon. It's a game against Liverpool. If you're a professional footballer, lots of those lads won't have played at that standard before. It's if you're the manager, you do what you just said. You tell them to go out, relax and enjoy themselves. They've beaten Barnsley and Nottingham Forest in their last two games, who are in much, much better form than they are. So they shouldn't be discounted for that reason. Those are two really good results given their league position. And they'll be buoyed by that a little bit. You know, it's a good result against Barnsley because Barnsley were not far off the playoffs. Yeah. So don't underestimate them. They'll be physical. I think they'll be physical. That's generally what sides lacking in quality do, don't they? They beef it up a little bit.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that. They ended up in a big scrap in the tunnel at Barnsley last night at the end. The players and both sides and the coaches and whatever getting involved. It's quite interesting. Check that tweet out. It's actually at Matt CCFCO2. He's got a little video of that if you want to check that out on Twitter. But yeah, proving that they do certainly have a little bit of fighting, a little bit of scrap in them. I mean, and going back to the point we're making though, Evo, is that the advantage that they will have is everything we've discussed there. They're playing football matches. If Liverpool played last weekend, mm-hmm. and we didn't have a midweek game, we played this weekend, I think there would be a clear advantage because they played more recently than us. So fatigue will be a greater issue for Cardiff in this one. But we're fighting that balance off. We'll get to see how important rhythm is, because they will be in rhythm. Liverpool won't be in rhythm, although they will have more fatigue. Liverpool should have less fatigue. But are we match sharp? It adds an interesting complication and possibly a positive one for Cardiff.
Yeah, I agree. And like you touched on this, like they've won the last two games. They had a really bad December. Like they didn't won like 6 or 7 out of the last 9, and now they had these two wins, like a proper build up for them towards the Liverpool game. And if you look at our side, it's almost like you can't believe that we are so bad coming back after a break. Like if we have one problem in the squad in this year, we are not in rhythm. Like when we get back after a break, international break or whatever, like we have to play ourselves in rhythm again. And it would be really Liverpool-like if we don't go out and just somehow grab a win, not really in a really proper way.
It's an interesting, it'll impact team selection, which we'll come on to in part two, of course. But you know, whether you go with the lad, do you need to play go strong to get the lads back in rhythm, or do you go with a younger, hungrier team who maybe not been on the same kind of break? We'll definitely talk about that in part two. What I think's really interesting is that. And why it feels like so long, Steve, since we last played. Because, the winter break, it's effectively an international break kind of thing where you get, it's 2 weeks, more or less. But there's been so much happened in there. Yeah. And to use the old holiday analogy, if you go on have a two-week break and you lie on the couch, that will it'll feel like, the days might feel like they've dragged, but that will fly by. Whereas if you go out and you do loads, you fill it with memories and when you look back on it, it feels like you had a big break. It has been wild this last couple of weeks. Obviously, transfer window coming to the end of the Luis Diaz stuff, which was incredible for a few days. The Carvalho stuff. There's been lots of other bits and pieces. AFCON's been ongoing, so we've been able to dip in and out of Salah and Mane and all that kind of stuff. It all contributes to. We've managed to keep ourselves like hungry and ticking over, but it does. It's led to this extended feeling where it feels like about a month since we actually played.
Totally, and given our recent transfer windows, this one aside, when we've not really done much, we've probably invested about 18 months worth of transfer window frenzy into that period, haven't we?
Yeah.
It's been mental. I don't know about you guys, but the Carvalho thing did me head in because it was like there was so many people saying it's done, it's not done, it's this, it's that. We all invested ourselves in that, as we do as Liverpool fans, and it can be a bit draining to go through that experience. It doesn't feel like 2 weeks, it feels like about 6 months, doesn't it? But it's so much, like you say, so much has happened.
Yeah, no, and I think we're all eager to just get back into it and get back to the business of watching the Reds again, really. Actually, a bit of breaking news while we're live here on YouTube. James Pearce tweeting, Liverpool's home game versus Leeds rescheduled for Wednesday, February the 23rd. Not ideal, given that falls 4 days before our Carabao Cup final. Game was originally due to play on Boxing Day, as we know. If Liverpool get through in the FA Cup versus Cardiff this Sunday, then their fifth round tie will be played midweek after the Wembley final versus Chelsea. So, yeah, I mean, talking about the importance of the winter break, I bet those lads are very glad they've taken that break now, because that is going to be majorly intense. Yeah, just to clear that up, there was going to be a full week before the League Cup final. Now Liverpool will have that Leeds United game. But, we talked about this a lot, even in the last week or two. The aim at the end of February is to have won the League Cup, and working back from that, we want to be in a position where we are 3 points closer to Man City bare minimum. That is the expectation. If we can get through to the next round of the FA Cup, win our game in hand, which has now been rescheduled, that's the Leeds game, and then and win the League Cup, then we have we've aced February. We're going to need all the players available for it possible, but yeah, at least we now know it's not ideal, but it's now known that is what Liverpool's February is going to look like.
Definitely, a clear mission for February, and like we're going to touch on this later in the show. We get healthier again, so important in this phase. And like it, for me, it feels like even if there's another international break somewhere in March, I would assume.
Yep.
Even when there's a break again, it feels like the big last chapter of the season starts now, because we've got the League Cup final, like important FA Cup games, like the February and March important months before we play City at the Empty Hat. Mm. So like every game is important now. Every game counts. And maybe even if we say it's bad that we play Leeds midweek, then after the final midweek again, maybe it's good for us, because like, if we are good in something, it's the 2 games a week rhythm. And yeah, it will be a little bit, a lot, but we have a lot of players available now.
Yeah, so. and that's the hope, and that's going to inform a lot of the conversation in part two, just how many players Liverpool do have available. I just want to say thank you actually to Steve Trevor, who's in the live comments, who pointed out the James Pearce tweet there to keep us updated on the rearranged fixtures and all that good stuff. And a Surab asking, have you guys killed Pejach? I mean, where is he? Been long. Chris Bajak was here until 7:30 last night recording this week's stat show with Dan Kennett. That's streaming today over on Redmen Plus. So if you want to dive into that, I'll get you a little look at that after the break. But the really good. Chris is not, just to clear things up, Chris is not dead. It was a funny joke. It was a funny joke that's been misinterpreted by a number of people. Chris Bajak.
Better say hello.
Not dead. Yet. If you want more from Pajak, I say he has that weekly stat show over on Redmen Plus, and he does the away games largely with me on watch alongs in the studio as well. So yeah, plenty of Pajak in your lives coming soon. Right, we are going to take a very, very short break. We've got a trivia question to tide you over whilst we do just that. Liverpool beat Cardiff 6-3 in 2014, but who scored Liverpool's goals? Answer after this.
Hey guys, it's Steve here. Hopefully you are enjoying this podcast. Just want to let you guys know, if you want even more Red Men TV goodness in your ears, every single show that we produce over on our subscription service, Red Men Plus, also comes in podcast format. So you can get all of our amazing content on the go. Hopefully you enjoyed that one, and hopefully you enjoyed the rest of the show.
Right, I asked the question before the break. It'll probably Cardiff 60 in 2014. Who scored the goals? Anyone want to throw some out there?
Well, obviously you'd be looking at Stevie for some form of contribution there.
No.
6 goals and he didn't score.
No, Steven Gerrard did not score in the six. Neither scored nor assisted.
That's
in that.
Incredible.
Yeah. The three most obvious contributors to that, like one of them didn't score but got 2 assists. Yeah. In fact, 13-14, it's at, when you think, now that I know, because the answers are in front of me, the answers are quite obvious in a roundabout way.
Suarez.
Luis Suarez. Luis Suarez scored a hat-trick that day.
Sturridge.
Daniel Sturridge scored that
Sterling.
Day.
Sterling.
No.
Okay.
Obvious in a
Henderson get one.
Roundabout way. John Henderson did not get one. So that it's one more player. One player scored a brace that day, and both goals were created by Felipe Coutinho.
Do you have any hints?
Dummy, like, yeah, mate.
Position away. So.
Wasn't a forward.
So it'd be a midfielder.
Wasn't a midfielder.
Wasn't Skirtle, was it?
It was Martin Skirtle.
Do you know what? He was brilliant at that.
He was. I think he scored seven goals this season.
He scored some belters at Arsenal, didn't he? So Skirts, he was always good for a late run into the box. He was a big physical guy, wasn't he? He wasn't going to get in the way of that. So, wow. Skirtle, too.
Yeah, there you go.
Long time ago.
Big shout out for Bad Drinker, who's just joined us as a first team members here. A member here on YouTube. Thank you so much for that. Glenn Johnson got a shout from Tom Hart. Unlucky, I think Johnson actually. Where are we? I think he got. When I can find the page that I had, he set up the first goal. Glenn Johnson for Luis Suarez. It's funny how there's a number of players who played for Liverpool over the years that I don't think of very often, and Glenn Johnson's definitely one of them. Like, what a good player he was. At his best.
He was.
At his best. I mean, we did have a running joke on Redmen for about two seasons that he actually had been swapped out with his evil twin, John Glenson, who couldn't play football very well. that was a running joke for quite some time. But
He wasn't bad.
He was a decent
player. Scored a good goal against Chelsea when he came inside and beat two or three of them in the far corner.
It's interesting. So we've actually, obviously, we're on the countdown to the League Cup final, and obviously I mentioned Redmen Plus. We've been filming like madly this last week, and we've got some great stuff coming up this week in the bag as well. I sat down with Stuart Downing yesterday to talk about his man of the match performance in the League Cup final in 2012, the last League Cup we won. And it was interesting because obviously Glenn Johnson's in that game and he has this belter of a right-footed effort in the first 5 minutes, curls it in, it comes down off the underside of the bar, which was actually set up by Downing, funnily enough. So yeah, we've got loads of stuff coming. We've got a documentary coming on the 2001 League Cup final. That's really, really good stuff. We've got a special in conversation with Stuart Downing, and we've got a 5-part premium podcast series as well, looking at all of Liverpool's League Cup final wins. All available and to stream on Redmen Plus, which are Liverpool streaming services like Netflix for Liverpool fans. And just to actually, I did mention for the people watching on YouTube that Chris did a stat show, which doesn't appear to be on the front page of the website, which would have been great. Oh, there it is, right down. A Luis Diaz stat special with Chris Page and Dan Kennett as well. So if you want to go deeper on Liverpool's new Colombian wonderman, then you can get that streaming right now on Redmen Plus. So yeah, head over there for more content. But obviously all the free stuff is still here, and it also exists on the website if you just want to get it all in one neat place and package. Right, let's get back into the game. Thiago back in training. We found this out. That was an announcement yesterday, I believe. Harvey Elliott's played a behind closed doors game, scored a lovely goal in that as well. I think got an assist in that game as well. The point on all of this is that no Salah, no Mane. Origi's probably not quite there yet either, but by and large, you know, we've got a wide array of footballers to choose from. Let's start with Harvey Elliott. Just put him in.
Probably not on Sunday.
Okay.
Because we've discussed before about Cardiff might try and ramp up the physicality. Yes. Which is where you lack quality, you tend to roll your sleeves up and have a go, don't you, physically?
Yeah.
Try and rattle them a little bit. That's probably not a game you need to risk him in. Mm-hmm. Equally, you make an argument to say it's absolutely the right game to put him in, because with any impact injury or any serious injury, that we've talked about this before, it's getting over the psychological hurdle that you can actually ride a challenge and not hurt yourself.
Yeah.
So that needs to happen sooner rather than later. And we know behind closed doors games, people don't tackle because they don't want to injure people. So it's very much like an under-23s game where tackling seems to be outlawed.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one of those situations. It's nice that both he's back. It's really good that he's back.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see what happens, because he started the season on the right side and put Henderson's position under threat, if you like.
Yeah.
He's the future of the football club, and we absolutely need to review him and look at him that way, get him back in. It's just as a way. What I really like about him, Paul, is that as the ball's coming to him, you're aware he's having a look at what's around him.
Yeah.
And he'll just touch a ball around the corner, and you can't teach that. Intuitively, you've got that or you haven't. And his awareness of where his teammates are and his ability to create space for others is really, really impressive. So, you know, you spoke about Henderson struggling for a bit of form. That injury he had last season was horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think enough's been said about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's been struggling for fitness and form a little bit through periods of the season. Harvey coming back is a really good opportunity to change it round a little bit, and he's more offensively minded. So where we want to go and win games and win them well is a definite option.
I think there's definitely something to that, isn't there, Eva? Where I keep being reminded of Wayne Rooney starting for Man United, and he's injured when he comes, and they throw him in. I think it's in the Champions League, and he's unreal. And there's just something to that. He's going to be chomping at the bit, and if it was me, I would be super protective of him, wrap him up. But he won't want to be wrapped up. He'll want to go out there and prove a point as soon as possible, because he'll want his place back.
Yeah.
Effectively, and there's a chance it being Cardiff, and there will be a physicality, but he was in the Championship last season. He there's nothing they're going to throw at him that he won't have experienced every week, twice a week for an entire season. I actually had a little look. He played against them last year as well. I think just the once, but he got an assist against them away from home in a 2-2 draw last season. So he'll have a decent picture of what they're likely to be as well. So could actually be the perfect game for him.
Like even if he doesn't start or you don't bring him in at half time, give him a proper run out for half an hour or something. Bring him in Anfield, get him back into the team again. And you talked about it. I totally agree. Like he was one of these early stories of the season. Mm-hmm. First weeks, first months. He played so good, and he's somehow an offensive winger. And then he got back into the right side of the midfield three, and he was really well connected with Mo Salah. So I was so devastated when he got this bad injury, and we were not sure if he would be back this season. So that he's back and that he can play again is really good. And somehow even he is not a Scouser, but somehow it feels for me. I don't know how it feels for you guys, but for me it feels like a bit like he's a Scouser because he identifies himself so much with Liverpool.
Yeah.
You see all these childhood pics with him and a Liverpool kid and everything. And when I see him, I really see happiness being at that football club.
Yeah.
And that is special for me, having a young kid who's so mature and who's so gifted on the same time.
I think the strong suspicion with him, Steve, is that there's an absolute player there.
Oh, yeah.
And more than, and it was a bit of a surprise to some. And it, funnily enough, I was chatting to Dan about him, and he was saying he could tell what a player he is just by working with him at Blackburn. But a lot of people still thinking, maybe another loan, because he's so young still.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
But there's something there where he's just got that attitude, he's got that charisma. There's something about him. It's the way he carries himself, it's the way he conducts himself. It doesn't matter actually what team you put around him. Let's say you start him in this game, doesn't matter whether we go full strength or whether we put a team of kids out, he will conduct himself like he's a senior footballer for Liverpool. And it's rare that, because
a lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
We've had a lot of players down the years who maybe got the ability, but there's just that surety of themselves. Michael Owen had that in spades.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Truly believed he was better than everything else, everyone else in his age group, everyone else in his position, everyone else in the league, the country, you know what I mean, et cetera, so there's a chance there for Harvey Elliott, whether it's here or actually it is Leicester. It won't be long until I think he's an absolute nailed-on mainstay of this team.
Totally agree. And if you track his career, he's always played in the age group above his age because such was his ability. So it's like when your kids, you've got kids, big difference between their ages. Your younger kid seems really mature for his age because he interacts with older children. It would be the same throughout Harvey's youth career where he played with older age groups, such was his ability. And I agree. I mean, he's living his best life. He's a Liverpool fan. He's the future of the football club. He knows that. We know that. He started the season really, really well. He was a really, really pleasant surprise just how good he was. Mm-hmm. And he's back and he's raring to go. And, you know, as far as football dreams go, this is his. And it's real and it's happening and he conducts himself really, really well. You're quite right, he carries himself, he's got swagger. All the top players with all the ability in the world have always had a bit of swagger, a bit of overconfidence, which serves them well during games. And he's got that. And, you know, I for one really looking forward to seeing him come back.
And mindset-wise, it's even, like, if you can have one positive out of an injury for a young player, that is good for his mindset. He overcame these... A couple of months now, 4, 5, 6 months.
Character building.
And we talked about him that he's so mature already. That will make him even more like prepared for everything that comes in his career. And I'm so excited for him to be in the squad again.
How strong do you think we go here, Steve? Because we were kind of chatting to it before we went live. My sneaky suspicion, I think you shared it, is that I think we're going to go a lot stronger than people feel we will. I think there'll be obvious changes. Mm-hmm. I think Kelleher will start this game.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah. I think like Konate will start this, and probably Gomez if he's around.
Mm-hmm. Maybe
because he needs the games. But it's funny because we're talking about that's our second choice centre back pairing, and yet they're both perfectly good at being our first choice centre backs as well. And then from then on, I mean, it's a weird situation. What I mean is, I don't see this being Conor Bradley. I don't see this being Owen Beck. I don't, maybe Tyler Morton, but there's a lot of lads there who actually could do with the game.
Thiago.
Yeah, Thiago, for example.
I think we're going to go really strong. I saw the Twitter post, give us your starting 11s, and it was varying degrees of weakness. Some people were naming players that, you know, like Beck and Canetio and players like that. Mm-hmm. I just don't see that happening. The worst thing that can happen is we go into our next league game and we're still rusty and we're still not match sharp, because the door's slightly open in terms of the Manchester City pursuit. We've got a glimmer of hope following the last fixtures. What we need to be is absolutely on it for every single league game. And if we put six youngsters in there or six fringe players in there and put in the odd season experienced player like a Thiago, like a Jota, are we preparing ourselves for our next league game correctly? You can intensify your training sessions all you want, but there's a big difference between training and match day.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to go a lot stronger than people anticipate, purely because we've had 2 weeks off. Yeah. We need to get back in the saddle and get on with it.
Yeah. It's funny, to the point, Evo, strong is weird, isn't it? Because we've got a lot, and it's been very understated this season, but we've got a lot of senior footballers. Like, as an example of that, you could easily start Kostas Tsimikas in this game. And, you know, and then you've changed. And if you go with Konate and Gomez, and the goalkeeper, you've changed four of your back five already before you've even done anything there. And yet, there's not that back. They're all good enough to start the biggest games for Liverpool as well. We put a tweet out actually during this from Ross, put a midfield three for Sunday tweet out. We had Damien suggested Thiago, Elliott, Milner to start. Second half, Fab, Jones and Morgan, who I presume is Dexter Morgan, the killer of HBO series Dexter, which I think if you're gonna sort of side through an opposition championship brutal midfield, then have a serial killer in there. I think that's definitely the answer.
Little cameo.
LFC 1987 says Fab, Henderson, Jones. Cathal Robinson saying Morton, Henderson, Elliott. Alan Kennedy, presumably not that one, saying Fab, Curtis, Elliott. The issue we might have with this is Fabinho's been away on international duty, and I think he's probably one of the few names who won't start this game, maybe as a result, but most everyone else is probably fair game.
It's insane. It's unbelievable when you look at the squad, and it's such a high level at this football club.
Well, like Naby Keita's back. No, theoretically we've got Keita. Theoretically you can choose from Fabinho, Henderson, Curtis Jones, Harvey Elliott, Naby Keita, Tyler Moore, and Thiago Alcantara and James Milner.
And the Ox.
Oxlade-Chamberlain, Jesus. There's nine midfielders.
Why don't we just put 11 centre midfielders out there and have do it that way?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm. Yeah, we all shake on that.
Who's
yeah, goal? Yeah, Milner. Yeah,
I totally agree with you guys. I mean, I had the same. I went on a train in the morning and I were like, okay, if we put out our first choice starters and you put in the 1B players, to say like that, it's still a proper team.
Yeah.
You could beat a lot of other teams.
Yeah.
And
well, what are you going for?
A mix. Just a mix, because like it's not a clear drop off when you put in Tsimikas, when you put in Konate. So I'm absolutely okay with starting them. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't start Thiago and Elliot. Like I wouldn't start them. Mm-hmm. It's maybe another level of pressure just starting directly when you come back. Like Thiago only joined the team this week, so maybe that's a little bit early, but having Hendo in, having Keita in, like he had a really good month, a couple of weeks at the AFCON to Man of the Match award, so he's maybe just motivated and good in shape, so put him in.
Well, if he's fit as well, you might as well play Keita, because you don't get to choose when Keita is fit.
That's one. But if he's fit, take the advantage and play him.
Yeah.
Because we never know what's going to happen to him.
Just looking at the balance of it, Steve, because a couple of suggestions there, I think, overlook a little bit that who plays on the left of the midfield three. Harvey Elliott plays on the right. Henderson plays on the right. On the left, you're looking at Keita's done a bit of it this season, and we know he can be used there. Thiago does that, Curtis Jones has done that, and I wonder whether Curtis is probably nailed on to start this one.
I think so.
Because he deserves it, because I think his form has been excellent in January. But you're then looking at who's ready to go more, or rather, who do you want more ready for Thursday against Leicester? And is that Keita or Thiago? Like, how far... Thiago's back in training, but how far away is he? Is he in contention for Thursday? Does he therefore need half an hour? So do you start Curtis and bring him on? And I think whoever... It might be Curtis starts both games, or it might be he does 60 and then Keita does 30 and then Keita does 60 and he does 30 on Thursday. Yeah. So maybe you've got that as your consideration for your left of your three. Maybe a similar thing. Henderson starts, so he gets his rhythm back, but then you give Elliot 30 minutes and then he's got every chance of having more time or being more impactful against theirs. It's the sixth thing is, do you use Henderson as the six? Do you use Milner? And if you use Milner, does that mean Trent starts at right back? Because Nico Williams has gone out on loan, of course.
All decisions, the permutations, you just absolutely ruined me there, thanks. I would go with Henderson in the six.
Okay.
He needs games, he needs to find his rhythm, he needs to find some form. And I'm not criticising him, it happens to footballers. Yes. And we touched on it before the break, his injury was a shocker. And that takes time to come back from it. So I would start him in the six. I'd start Jones on the left. Naby Keita had a good AFCON. Naby Keita was a driving force for Guinea.
Yep.
So I would probably start Naby on the right-hand side. Get the game won. What will happen is, if you bring in Elliot whilst it's a contest, those tackles are going to be flying around. It's kind of Phil Foden syndrome for me. You get to 3-0 up, hopefully. On an hour, you bring him on when they've lost all of their impetus and all of their willingness to fight. And they just see out the game and he gets the fourth goal, and that's great for him and it's great for the club and it's great for his development. I think we have to play Henderson. He has to find some rhythm and some form ahead of the Leicester game, because he will play in that. As you say, Curtis should start because he deserves it.
I've got a sneaky feeling that, because I think it's a bit mad that we've let Nico Williams go on loan, to be honest. I think that, given how much... how many players we're currently carrying, which is well more than we've ever had before, well more, and probably more than we need. You know, there's going to be some good players who are really struggling for minutes for the back end of the season, even with all the games we're playing. I wonder whether Milner is now the right back, is back to being the second choice right back. Because I mean, it might be Bradley, and if you're going to give it, to Bradley, this would be now.
He likes him though, doesn't he? Likes Bradley.
He does, but I don't see where Milner gets his game now.
No.
And is that a concession that we've made because we've got an abundance of midfield options, and adding to the attack in Diaz means we need to strip the midfield less. So Ox is not, we're not going to need Ox to play in the front as much anymore. So that's less game time in that. And what does that knock on down the squad? And maybe we've said to Milner, you know, we'll let Williams go. Are you happy to do the right back thing?
And he's going in the summer. We know is it prudent and sensible to not include players that are going to feature going forward with the club as beyond the end of the season?
That's an interesting point. Yeah, do you because we did this with Lallana where we kind of kept him wrapped up, but that was to make sure he got his move as much as anything else. Milner won't be out. Milner will just want to play because he's on the countdown to retirement more than anyone else, and he won't want to miss a kick of the ball.
If you play Milner at right back, you can afford to play Keita in front of him because that's your creativity, because Keita is a creative player. If you don't play Keita, I think you've got to play Trent.
Yes, it's really interesting. I think the Keita on the right is actually surprisingly good. I much prefer him on the right of our midfield than the left. Yeah. He's not as good as Thiago, unfortunately. And, you know, he's not as good he's not as solid as Wijnaldum was in that. And he's got so much more to his game. And we ask that left side of midfielder to be a bit more, I don't know, limited. Not in terms of, like, their overall creativity or use of the ball, but certainly in how they drive forward and the balance. Although, that being said, I think Curtis has given us a really nice balance on that side, the way he's linked up on the right. But I like Keita on the right more. I just think it suits his game better. He's certainly more of an attacker mid than a centre mid. Just let's move the conversation forward. Evo, Luis Diaz, you know, potentially.
I love that reaction, by the way.
There's every chance that he's involved in this game. I really want to see him play football for Liverpool. This would be great.
Can't wait. Do you saw the social media picture? He was in Paris yesterday night. So he arrives today, maybe gets his whole AXA training center walk around tomorrow. It's not really common and usual that we throw players in immediately. So that's not really a Klopp-ish way to welcome the new players. But I mean, he's not injured. Full force. He's in fitness wise. He's there. Green light. Everything worked out with the medical. So I don't know why you wouldn't give him at least 10-15 minutes.
On the bench. You've got five subs to use as well, potentially there as well.
Is it five subs?
Yeah, because it's the FA Cup. You've got the potential there to just give him a couple of minutes at the end, just to get him into the team, or the flip. You could start him and pay him for 45 if you wanted to.
I would like if he gets on the bench and then you play him for 10-15 minutes, that he already have had a little sniff around, that he is ready to maybe have a proper impact on Thursday for 30 minutes for the second half if we need him.
It's an interesting thing because in terms of the options then, stay in attack. Firmino, obviously. Jota, obviously, and it's whether we want to. The Diaz thing actually might be whether we want to protect Jota a little bit. We just don't know at this point of what the point of the winter break was and whether these lads actually could do with another one more game off just so they're fully recovered and ready for the push, or whether this is the start of the push starts Sunday, really, and that Jota's we've been quite protective of Jota because he's had to play a lot in January, and he's actually played a lot this season, and he's actually played a lot coming back from injury last season as well. That's a little bit of an unknown, but Ox might feel a little bit aggrieved not to continue playing in this game because, let's be honest, Salah could well be back. You know, I think there'll be a struggle to get them back for Leicester, but that's the conundrum now. I think there's a couple of players for whom they'll have to play Leicester, and it's whether there's a value to them just playing, to sticking with the three that's actually saved as well throughout January, and then you add Diaz as a sub option maybe.
So 2 weeks ago, you and I sat in here and talked about Ox being the 12th man, the guy played himself into the position of the 12th man. Now these other players are back. I'm not convinced that's the case anymore.
Okay.
He probably should start wide right against Cardiff because that suits him. It really doesn't suit Jota to play out there for me. Jota for me has always been, and this is the interesting thing, more of a competitor for Mane than Firmino.
Yeah.
But then Diaz is now a competitor for Mane and Jota.
Yeah.
Lovely, lovely opportunity to have those players in the mix. Diaz should probably sit on the bench. come on for 10 minutes, little cameo thing at Anfield in the FA Cup, romantic story, you know, game one, 10 minutes. He's got a lot to learn in terms of how Liverpool play, because Liverpool's system is so different to everybody else's. It will take him a couple of weeks to learn how to set traps in the press. It's not something that you could walk into the team and do straight away. Mm-hmm. Cardiff is a game where you don't need a press and you don't need to set traps. It's not Premier League standard, is it?
He's clearly, Klopp's, we talk a lot, there's a lot. Defensively and midfield-wise, players take a while to get up to speed. But in more offensive players, he's been less out. He will just chuck people in. Mm. It's whether he drip feeds them in a little bit. And because, as to the point, Ox actually deserves his place in the team. It'd be a bit unfair on Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, who scored a couple of goals recently, you know, more recently for us. He's actually really helped us through this period. I like that notion of Ox starts, but Diaz is there. And then actually it gives you the option for Thursday to go. Because actually, can you use Diaz on the right? And the answer is probably yes.
He's right-footed, so yeah.
Exactly, you know, you definitely can. And he's very good both-footed, and you'll see. I think get a little glimpse of him at the weekend, and then make that call, because you could go again. You know, you could ask Jota, Firmino, Ox / Diaz to play again on the Thursday if you really wanted to / need to. Because we've now got that, having that one extra option makes it a bit easier.
Yeah, like I think Luis Diaz has to play. If he's in the squad, if he's on the bench, give him 10-15 minutes at the end, because every minute helps. You have to play games, and like even if it needs some time, like you touched on it, I've never seen so many journalists speaking about this is a Klopp player before he came here. So if there's anybody who's able to adapt quickly in this, like of course offensively, like this is the one thing like you can do if you just get into a game like Cardiff, then it's Luis Diaz.
Yeah, I've certainly had a track record of us buying players in and me going, they've been bought as the understudy to ... Mohamed Salah was bought as the understudy to Mane. Jota has been bought as the understudy to Mane. And then we just keep finding ways to get these lads in the team. And then once they're in the team, they don't come out the team. So that's what the really exciting thing for me about Diaz is, that I have the note of caution that it's midway through a season. He doesn't know the lads he's playing with. And so much of how Liverpool play at the top end, the best of Liverpool, is like second nature, understanding where everyone is around them, the quick little touches and bits and pieces. But there's also a possibility that he's so good that he just comes in and he blows everyone away in that. The truth will probably be somewhere in the middle, of course, but that's the exciting thing about having him available.
Oh, totally. And Mane can play on the right as well. And take Mane back to his debut goal against Arsenal, coming off the right and stonk one in the top corner. What a goal that was.
Yeah.
To announce yourself at the football club, by the way. So our options are great. And you say Diaz is a tailor-made Klopp player. He really is. He's got a lot of Luis Suarez about him. What he is, I don't know if you've seen the stats. They've measured the pace of these of the three of them, Mane, Salah and Diaz. And Diaz is the quickest of the three.
Good. It's something that we've been criminally lacking in the absence of Salah and Mane, is another lad who's just got pace to stretch things as and when. So great. I'm excited. I think we all want to get a first glimpse of him, if nothing else.
Yeah, like, and just to say this again, like, If we take a look at the little things, language-wise, he won't have any barriers up there if he plays with Jota / Firmino, like Portuguese, Spanish things.
Totally,
if we look at the little things, for little 10, 15 minutes coming in, he will know the shouts. They can communicate. They get to know each other from tomorrow on. So, like, could be a little advantage.
Bring him on the same time you bring Thiago on as well. Then you've got one behind, one inside, one in front of.
And look, the thing on Diaz is that we've all got high expectations. We have, because we've hyped ourselves up, and rightly so. Tremendous looking player. You know, he looks like he could be an absolute superstar for us. This 6 months, I just want him to be an impact player. Yeah. Just give us another option. I don't expect him to get 15 goals in the back end of the season. I don't care almost that, as long as he's not awful. Like, and he bends, and you know, because you can damage your reputation. You'd be hard to dig yourself out of a hole, and then with some supporters, you're always fighting against you're swimming against the tide for the rest of your Liverpool career. Hopefully, he's got a couple of glimpses that we can go, ooh, like Suarez. You know, basically when Suarez comes in January, and it's him and Carroll Carroll, and he's the most. It's so obvious the ways an Andy Carroll can impress you because he just has to get up and win headers. Whereas Suarez is doing the little tricks and flicks and nutmegs, and when they don't come off, you look shit. But when they do come off, you look like the best player on the planet, and that's it for me. You know, and but maybe not even that much. I just want to see. I just want to get enough to get a glimpse, to get a handle on what he might be for Liverpool moving forward. And if he goes above and beyond that, then absolutely mind-blowing. Let's have another quick look at the FA Cup and what the fourth round fixtures to keep an eye on this weekend. United hosting Middlesbrough. That could be hilarious. Kidderminster, West Ham. You'd imagine West Ham will get through in that, but that's got one of those wonderful cup shocks written all over it. Chelsea host Plymouth Argyle. City host Fulham. Now, Evo brought this point up earlier. Fabio Carvalho!
What the hat trick!
Yeah, if you want to endear yourself to potentially your future club.
Dream scenario.
Yeah, Fabio Carvalho to knock Man City out of the FA Cup would be splendid. Wolves host Norwich or Premier League clash makes that an incredibly dull fixture there. Everton, Brentford, wow. Frankie Lampard's. I mean, is he just chosen them? Because we know some old tweets have come out, of course, that he is a big fan of blue, isn't he? The blue side of things, Frank Lampard. Tory, Frank Lampard.
It's one we'll sit and watch, and one at times we'll laugh at, isn't it, really, to be fair? You know, what's he got on his CV? He shouted at Klopp, that's it. That's it. He bombed out of the Championship playoffs with Derby, he went to Chelsea, got them into the Champions League, and credit to him for doing that. And then when they gave him money, the wheels come off, didn't it, when he actually went out and spent silly amounts of money on Timo Werner. Good luck to them. They deserve each other as far as I'm concerned, mate.
Oh, yeah. Like, I don't mind them having a win just to ease the pressure, just because the misery coming up pouring off the Toffee TV, lads, has been unbearable. It's just making me feel worse about my own life for somehow. Like, I mean, it's just like proximity. Like,
how dare you be happy?
Well, no, exactly. It's like living next to an open nuclear reactor. It's you know, that's what it's like. Living in this city with so many miserable Evertonians. Crystal Palace, Hartlepool, Southampton, Coventry, Tottenham, Brighton, and obviously we're at the 12 o'clock on the Sunday. Nottingham Forest, Leicester, that'll be a spicy affair, of course. And Bournemouth versus Boreham Wood. Nico Williams didn't get the chance Nico had a follower. Nat Phillips, I should say, he's tricky Bournemouth side, taking on Boreham Wood.
They did moves, didn't they? They really went for it in the window, didn't they?
Really
they
did go for it.
They have put all of their eggs in one basket for promotion, they really have.
I thought just on the Nico Williams things, overlooking that completely. Did Nico play? Will Nico be cup tied? Did he play in there?
I think he might be, yeah.
Yeah, shame. Oh, well, never mind. Just all on Fabio Carvalho's slight shoulders then to give us an extra.
We'll all be watching. We'll all be avid watchers of Fulham for the rest of the season, won't we?
Yeah, like all the people tuned in for the Columbia game last week. Brilliant. Let us know your 11. What's your midfield three? What's your 4-3? What's your back four? In the comments underneath the starting 11 show, will be a little bit later on today. So do tune in for that one live on YouTube as well. Let's have a score prediction before we wrap up, Steve. What do you think?
4-0.
I say it won't be as exciting as it sounds, but 5-1.
Yeah, I could see it being one of those games where we go behind actually, bad. And then everyone goes, right, okay, let's dance.
I can't do that anymore. You know, can't sit there longing for half times anymore.
But got to remember, this game, the atmosphere in this game is going to be arse. It's going to be horrendously bad because it always is whenever we play teams that we're meant to beat. Doesn't matter. And I think it's a little bit because maybe we're too, I don't know if this is like, I try to excuse just crap atmospheres, but we're not pricks. So we're like, we feel a bit like, oh, we can't really celebrate against a team that, like a championship team that you're meant to be better than. I'm happy for it. Put a bit of spice in there. Give us a little bit of a reason to, give us a mountain to climb and a reason to get pumped up. And, you know, with the lads who are coming back and maybe need to shake off the rust or whatever, I've got to go hard, got to get in for it. That or Harvey Elliott just runs the show for 60 minutes, gets a hat trick, comes off to a standing ovation. I'll take a 3-4-1 to Liverpool. I'll be happy with that. Yeah, predictions in the comments. Thank you so much for joining us, whether you're on live on YouTube there after the fact, or you're catching us on Acast, Spotify, Apple, iTunes, whatever the hell it's called. I'm not an Apple guy. He says with the laptop in front of him from that very company. If you're on podcasting services, do drop a 5-star review as well if you can. That's always good stuff. If you want more content from us, do go and check out Redmen Plus. get more on Luis Diaz. He might not play this weekend, but when he does, you want to be primed. You want to know what Liverpool have got the best you can. The stat show right now over on Redmen Plus. Check it out. Chris Pajak and Dan Kenneth. And we've got all of your countdown to the League Cup final content ready as well. So perfect time to join Redmen Plus. Gentlemen, thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure. Hope you've enjoyed yourselves at home. You guys are awesome. Have a boss weekend. And hopefully, yeah, Liverpool booking a place in the fifth round of the FA Cup. Ta-da.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.